Well, we're talking about the regulations the Saskatchewan government announced yesterday regarding legalization of marijuana sales and regulations that have yet to be announced. We're asking what you think of what you've heard so far, and you can give us a call. We're at 1-800-716-2221 or email bluesky@cbc.ca. In the last half hour, we focused on the business side of legalization, but these measures will affect you, the consumer. So for a look at how the province's new plans will affect the product and price, we've reached David Clement. He is the North American Affairs Manager for the Consumer's Choice Center. He's on the line now. Hi, David.
Thank you for having me on the show.
David, what do you think of the plan, what we've heard so far?
So I think it's mostly positive, especially when you compare Saskatchewan to other provinces. I think the province should be applauded for embracing private retail over government-owned stores. But I think that there are some hiccups in what the province has outlined in terms of the cap on retail sale or retail outlets, as well as some of the other finer details like the financial capacity screening or good character screening that they're going to apply to these retailers.
Well, some are concerned that the good character thing means anything that anybody knows anything about marijuana will be ineligible.
Yeah, and I think that's a problem because, I mean, from a consumer's perspective, we want the people who sell cannabis to be as knowledgeable as possible. We wouldn't want to buy, let's say, alcohol from people who don't understand the difference between stout and ale or beer and vodka. And we should apply that to cannabis as well. And so I from our perspective, we'd much rather see the folks who have operated in this industry, let's say on the medical side, grandfathered into the legal industry, because ultimately those people have been operating in that medical field for so long. They have expertise that nobody else has because they were the only legal consumers for quite some time. Mm-hmm. And so my concern in terms of some of these restrictions is that it's going to crowd those people out, and we should be grandfathering those people in.
You know, on the private sales model, I mean, it's a bit of an elephant in the room here in Saskatchewan. And Alan reached out on Twitter, and Alan, Alan's pretty blunt here, but I don't think he's alone in wondering if private marijuana sales will be simply another plum for a few lucky Saskatchewan Party supporters.
Well, I think that's the biggest issue with having the government, the provincial government, run the permit process. And so we have this lottery that they've set up. So the first issue with the lottery and having a cap at 60 retail outlets is that it's not going to allow for the market to shift based on consumer demand. So let's say there's more demand than 60 stores can meet. Well, what's going to happen is we're going to have that consolidation effect, and that's going to be obviously negative for consumers. For most other products, when demand increases, we just increase the amount of retail outlets so that the market can adjust properly. So setting that limit does raise some questions. And I wouldn't take it so far to say that the permits are going to go out to people who are well-connected, but it isn't a stretch, and it is certainly what we have seen in various other instances around the country or even nationally. So it's definitely something to keep an eye out for. And it's also a bit of a red flag in terms of some of the negatives of having this centrally run permit process.
Right. I want to share some thoughts with you from Brent Zettel. Brent is the president and CEO of CanaMed Therapeutics, one of the biggest producers of medical marijuana in the country. He said his company and its partner are considering applying for a license. While he says a lottery is fair, he still has some concerns about it.
Well, the lottery process is okay, provided that the people who are applying in the lottery process are qualified and that they've passed the criminal record checks and they've had a whole series of things that where, you know, to be able to enter your ticket into the lottery, there should be a criteria first, because otherwise you're going to be tsunamied with all kinds of individuals who you don't know are from anywhere, that the ability to execute, the ability, if they have financial resources to do it, whatever it might be, having normal, you know, having a normal ability to have a tracking system, it's just inviting a lot of problems. So there has to be a certain benchmark for individuals before and companies before they should be allowed to apply within the lottery. That's the lottery, I'm fine with it, but they have to have a certain benchmark. Otherwise, it's just going to be very, very difficult to manage after the fact. You know, if you look in the models in Colorado and Oregon, the black market didn't disappear. It's well and good. I think it's unfortunately, I don't think it's real that the black market's going to disappear. It's real that you can channel people to getting safe access and having them giving them ability to choose properly. But to think that somehow this is going to undermine the black market, I don't think is realistic. They're very creative in what they do.
All right, so that was Brent Zettel, the CEO of CanaMed, one of the larger producers of medical marijuana in the country. David, what do you think of some of his concerns?
I would disagree with his perspective on the lottery. So I certainly understand the worrisome nature of maybe the government being kind of bombarded by applications by retailers. But rather than saying that we have to add more restrictions to make that bad process better, I would say we have to actually scale back that restriction and probably just remove the permit process and simply treat the permit process for cannabis retail sales the same way we treat other age-prohibited goods like tobacco. So we don't have all of these additional, let's say, financial capability screenings and all of those other added features for retail outlets that sell tobacco products, which are age-restricted. So I see no reason why we should treat cannabis in a different light. And so my suggestion in terms of the problems raised about the lottery system would be to actually step back away from it rather than add more regulations on top of it.
All right. Our guest for the rest of the program, folks, is David Clement. He is the North American Affairs Manager for the Consumer Choice Center. And he'll stick around and take your calls and answer questions if you have them. But our question for you today is, what do you think of what the government has revealed so far about its plans for legal marijuana sales sometime this summer here in Saskatchewan? As a consumer, what are you looking for? Do you think access is important? Price? Competition? The telephone number is 1-800-716-2221. The email address, bluesky@cbc.ca. And let's begin with Richard in Regina. Hi, Richard.
Hi there, Garth. Garth, I'm concerned about, we know cigarettes are dangerous and regulated, but is marijuana going to be classed the same way and regulated like cigarettes were?
Well, I would hazard a guess, Richard, that it's going to be much more restrictive than cigarettes. In fact, it's going to be more restrictive than hard liquor in some ways.
I see. Yeah, well, we'll see, I guess. So, you know what I mean? I haven't heard anything about it. Have you?
Well, just what the government announced yesterday, that they're going to license up to I think it's 40 stores.
Yes, but this is stores. What about homes and, you know, not smoking within certain distance from your door and... How's that going to ring?
Well, now that's part of the unclear picture at this point, Richard. It looks like a lot of that's going to be left up to municipalities. In Saskatoon, they're already in the process of amending the smoking bylaw to cover cannabis as well as tobacco. So, these are a lot of the questions that we don't have answers to yet, Richard.
So is it going to be as dangerous as cigarettes to smoke?
Well.
Period. We got to think of our young people in this.
Yeah. Okay, Richard, thanks for your thoughts.
Okay, thanks a lot. Goodbye.
Let's hear from Robert in Regina. Hi, Robert. Robert in Regina? There you
in
go.
In Regina? Okay. Is that me, Garth?
Well, are you Robert?
Yeah, I'm Robert in Saskatoon.
Okay, though. Robert in Saskatoon. Sorry about that. I got misdirected there. Go ahead, Robert.
Normally, I wouldn't phone 2 days in a row, but 5 years from now, it'll be the 100th anniversary of Prohibition. Bill Blair was an ARC, and the legislation that the federal government put forward is based on the police model. They already went for the corporate model where the license to grow is prohibitive, so not anybody can grow it. It's an agricultural product if they really want to get down to it. And it should, like the gentleman said, there should be a checkoff, just like the Pulse League. if a grower is growing up to 100 plants, $10 a plant and $100 per pound goes into a fund for research. And they haven't talked about refined products either, where, you know, like if they make oil or crackle or honey oil or God knows if they ever got it down to pure THC, what those items will be worth. And edibles, you know, that's all part of this cycle, eh?
Right. Well, edibles aren't even going to be legal in
the
first place.
No, I know. Yeah. That's hilarious because it can be ordered from outside Saskatchewan and delivered by courier to the people that have medical marijuana already. So when you start looking at it, the price that they came in with on medical marijuana is the black market price. So if it's legal, the price should actually go down. But I'd want a quarter from each pound tested so I know the THC content, I know the GBD content, you know, I know the strain even, you know, because there's so many different strains nowadays. And the last people that should be creating the system for marijuana sales in Saskatchewan, the last people is the Saskatchewan Party, because they're dead set against it already. And there's nowhere in any of their thinking where they're going to put money towards research. They haven't even made that comment yet. Mm-hmm. So if the price comes in at the black market price that exists today, they'll never get rid of the black market. And right now, within the Saskatoon market, for example, 50% of all pot smoked in Saskatoon is produced within an hour of this city. So, you know, let's allow the growers, if you want to grow more than 100 plants, then $15 a plant. If you want to grow more than 1,000 plants, then $17.50 a plant, and put that money into research. And as far as all these people saying there's an impairment problem here, good luck on that, because I don't believe I'm impaired whatsoever when I've gotten high. I don't believe I'm impaired. So if that's the way that they want to say it, you know, like they're already going for an extra policing moment. And as far as money to train the police, Bill Blair already said he's going to put $4 to $5 million into the hands of the police departments across Canada to train police in how to ascertain if somebody's high. Most accidents that occur, alcohol-related, yes, 40-some percent, as David Broadfoot pointed out. That means the other 52% are caused by. And as far as drugs, when they're talking about accidents and drugs, in most cases, it's pharmaceutical drugs that cause accidents.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Robert, I'm going to have to have to stop you there, Robert. Thanks very much for your thoughts. David.
I was just going to say what the caller there has rightfully pointed out in that discussion is the need for competition in terms of how that relates to price. So when you have a cap on the amount of retail outlets, you limit that competition aspect between different companies that have to compete for business. Mm-hmm. And what competition will allow for is that downward pressure on price that makes the legal market more attractive than the illegal market. So I think he does rightfully point out the fact that that the model that does go forward has to be more consumer-friendly if it has any hopes of crowding out the black market, which is why we like private retail but want to see them and continue moving that ball forward.
Okay, let's bring James into the conversation, also in Saskatoon. Hello, James.
Good afternoon, Bert. So, you know, on the grand scheme of things, having been a partaker at one point in time in my life, I'm now of abstinence. I'm abstinent of all drugs and all alcohol. And I would hope and pray actually that all people would see that as a consideration. But I know myself, to say that there wasn't an impairment would be naive to say so.
Yeah.
And I don't care what you're doing. So then what becomes the first principles of this? What are we trying to do? And from my perspective, I think what I look at is I say that I think the issue started to arise that we were getting very concerned with the additives that were being put onto the black market products, right? And so what was ending up happening is we were having some very innocent situations kind of developing to a very tragic situation because of other contaminants that were being placed onto the product. So as I see it, sure, some people would love to have the grand free-for-all, and all of a sudden there's no restrictions involved. But I don't necessarily think that that's a wise part of it as well. I do have great concern that the government will not be able to make this model, much on the line of like the Gun Control Act, be a profitable business. I'm sorry, I struggle with a lot of their parameters that they work with as far as acceptance and the price that the public will be willing to pay for this. So that, at the end of the day, I do think that there is great responsibility in municipalities in their decision and how they go to solicit this decision to open or to not open a vending outlet in their community. I give great applause to the Reserve that has decided to stay, Buffalo Pound that has decided to stay.
Onion Lake.
Onion Lake, correct. And I think that is upon each community should be able to have that vote. If I live in a section of Saskatoon, let us have the democratic process. Let us have a plebiscite. Do we wish this to be in our corner of the community?
James, would you extend that to alcohol licenses? Should neighborhoods get to vote on whether there's another bar in?
Well, I understand the hypocrisy that you're trying to point out. And I do think that there is some control at this moment in regards to bars that, honestly, I think that there should be maybe value to that because we have seen, it's my opinion, but I think that there is a lot of times where people, we've seen the loss of quality of life, and it's because, the challenges that we have.
Okay, so. James, I'm going to have to stop you there. We got a few more folks who want to join the conversation, and we're quickly running out of time. Thanks for sharing your thoughts, though, James. I'm going to move on quickly to Art down in Estevan. Hi, Art.
Hi. I'd like to point out that, we're supposed to promote a healthy lifestyle. So you're going to be smoking. We're supposed to get rid of cigarettes, but, you can have marijuana and the alcohol and all that. So what's the difference? Why don't they promote cocaine? Why don't we go further? I mean, what's the point of just having one drug? You're going to be going on to another one when you want more effect, I guess, from your high.
Yeah.
So we should have cocaine. And the only reason this is happening is because Trudeau is a smoker himself, and he got the young people to vote that they should have this. And under the Conservatives, it was pointed out that there was no way they would allow that.
Right.
And as far as the black market, you're always going to have it. It's probably going to thrive better than what we have now. So why don't we just go, have cocaine and the rest of the drugs? I mean, I guess everybody wants to be a doper. So.
Okay, Art. Thanks. Point made. David, any thoughts?
Yeah. I was just going to say, it's a valid concern. People are always concerned about the gateway drug effect of access to certain substances. But when we look at the data, we actually see a trend the other way, where when we legalize something like cannabis, people are less apt to go and use those harder drugs. And the reason is mostly intuitive. And we saw it with alcohol. When alcohol was illegal, people weren't necessarily focused on buying beer, and I make beer and cannabis as a comparison. They were buying hard liquor because if they were going to engage in illegal activity, they wanted to get the most bang for their buck. Once it became legal, we saw consumer preferences shift. We saw the explosion of lower percentage alcohol distribution in beer and things like that. So we actually see the trend run the other way. So certainly a valid concern in terms of people consuming other substances. But when we look at the data, we actually see the shift go the other way, where access to less potent, formerly illegal substances actually decreases the likelihood that people end up using harder drugs like cocaine, like you mentioned, or anything like that.
Well, and I mean, there have been studies done that show that part of the gateway is because as long as it's illegal, the person who is selling pot is probably selling other things too.
Yeah, of course. And they're putting different substances within it to try to make it have more potency or different effects. It's everything we saw in alcohol prohibition just applied to a different substance.
Right. Let's quickly bring Darby into the conversation in Round Lake. Hi, Darby.
Good afternoon.
Don't have a lot of time, Darby. Go quick.
I know. I got you. I have only one problem with the whole conversation. Our Saskatchewan government, I think it's Inuvik in Saskatchewan, that has now realized pot is going to become legal in July. Okay, gotcha. But how can we be so backward? I live in the boonies, but I don't think that that's fair. How can our provincial government hide their head in the sand and say this is not happening because it's mm-hmm. going to happen? And okay. Gotcha. I've yep. used up your time. I'm
yep.
sorry.
Thanks, Darby. That's all right, Darby.
But take care.
You too, Darby. David, I don't know if it's fair to ask you this, but, I mean, given Saskatchewan has been sort of mm-hmm. dragging its feet on this one, we are the last province to come up with any policy at all, and there's still mm-hmm. a whole lot of detail that has not been announced. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, if I could encourage the province to do anything, it would be get rid of the retail cap, continue on with private retail, and also have some sort of legal framework for consumption lounges.
Right.
The reason why I say that is because people are concerned about people smoking pot in the street and bothering other people. But if you allow for lounges, it removes them from street corners or bus stops or et cetera and puts them into controlled settings. In the same sense that we don't really have rampant public consumption of alcohol, and that's mostly because people can go to a bar and restaurant yeah. and consume alcohol there. And so that would be my kind of third suggestion for the province would be to not – necessarily treat it like tobacco in that sense, where it's a full ban on any indoor consumption. Allow for some private establishments to be created so that people can consume it in a controlled setting where they don't bug other people.
Treat it more like beer.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, I'm going to squeeze in one last caller. I hope it's going to be George in Regina. George, I can give you 45 seconds. Go. Glenn in Melfort? I thought it was George in Regina, but okay, it'll be Glenn in Melfort. Hi, Glenn. Sorry about that.
Hi,
you
no
still
problem.
Got 45 seconds, though. Go.
Yeah, I'll go. The thing that bothers me is that I think it should have been done through the liquor stores, really.
Okay.
And they privatized a lot of the liquor stores, so that. But I think there should be a certain amount of money put into research to for addictions treatment
yeah.
for everybody, you know, to access and use some of that money for that purpose.
Okay, Glenn, I'm going to have to stop you there. And I'm going to have to say thank you to David. David, thank you very much for sharing your thoughts on this with us today.
Thank you very much for having me on the show.
David Clement is the North American Affairs Manager for the Consumer Choice Center. And again, if you have more thoughts on yesterday's announcement about Saskatchewan's plans for retail sales of legal marijuana come this summer, I'd like to hear from you. Give us a call on TalkBack. That's 1-800-661-7540. You could email us as well. It's bluesky@cbc.ca.